Okay. Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we can be in your word again, Lord. We thank you for Sunday school. Lord, I just pray that you give us all a wonderful time today. Lord, there's many activities today, and we have many things that are going to be happening today, and then also preparation to get ready for Vacation Bible School. I just pray you, Lord, that you just be with all of us, give us peace in our hearts, Lord, that we're doing your will, and we just thank you for all your wonderful works that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, cute. Aren't you cute?
Okay, so 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Charity that we learned last week in this verse means love. So you can just read that verse and replace it with the word love. And charity is one of those verses or one of those words that is interchangeable. And even in our thinking, in, you know, our American words, as you, if you want to put it that way, charity means doing for others as well. So it still has the same connotation. Love is still that underlying factor that works for charity or for love. So, but it says clarity.
Clarity.
Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease, and whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Okay, so we looked at the first one. Charity suffereth long, or is patient. And patient, even when you feel like expressing yourself in other means, we still try to be as long-suffering as we possibly can, and in bearing the trials and other things that are presented to us, having Christ's love and being able to take a moment and to say a prayer and just, you know, think it through and, you know, not reacting and flying off the handle all the time, that is a good thing. So we learned that sometimes we don't do as well. And so it says, where do we get the patience we need to suffer long and with people? So we read the verse Isaiah 40:31, which is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So having a close walk with the Lord gives us that patience. Taking a moment to pray before, if we're in a situation that's stressful, that's another way. But knowing that God is with us, which is the Psalm 91 verse, we read that he's our refuge, he's our fortress, he is always there to help us. So even that little prayer of, help Lord, help me say the right thing, that could be as far as you get in your head. You're saying, okay, just help me to say this in the right way, help me to not speak in anger, because sometimes our families try our patience, our co-workers try our patience, the world tries our patience. With them, it's, you know, you don't want to be flying off the handle at somebody in the store or, you know, that kind of stuff. And we tend to exhibit that better behavior when we're out in the public. We're a little more long-suffering. We, you know, we may rant and rave in our head, but we're not saying anything to anybody else. But at home is where we really, 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 really need to practice this, because we treat our family members and the ones that we say we love the most in the world, we can treat them the worst, as opposed to how we would treat a guest that would come in your house. So trying this at home, being more patient and understanding and long-suffering and speaking things kindly. You may be upset. You may have a genuine right to be upset, but it's all in how you say something, how you verbalize your emotions, how you get them across is what matters. I mean, yeah, it's, and we all, I didn't grade myself very highly on this because sometimes I do good and sometimes I don't do so good. The next one we started on was love is kind. That's our next little, and it says it's patient, but it doesn't say and love is kind. It just says charity suffereth long and is kind. So they go together. The being patient and kind work together. And that's, it's really true, because if you're being patient and you're being long-suffering, in a way you're showing a kindness because you're not
killing.
You're not strangling someone right off the bat. Exactly. You know, you're not like, yeah. And so you, yeah, I just want to, just, yeah.
And pop up your hand.
Just like, yeah, and it's like, it, you know, and the Lord says, you know, he knows our thoughts. So it's like, okay, Lord, I don't want to have these thoughts either. And you know, so it's like, take those away too. Help me to be long-suffering in my thoughts and in my actions. Because, yeah, sometimes you just, Leah's like, uh-huh. So, and then we have people that are, by nature, I guess you could say, or, you know, the way they choose to be, because we can all change the way we are. We don't have to, and as Christians, we should not be the same as we were before. Christ says we are a new creature. That means in everything. It's not going to happen overnight, but we're to be different than we were and the way we thought and everything else. But some people are just critical in nature, and they will always see the negative to something that, you know, and they're always going to have that. And it says, why must we be kind to people like them? Well, because in John 13:34 and 35, it says we're to love like Christ loved us. So if Christ, or if people see Christ's love in us, then hopefully we can not only change their way of thinking, but a lot of it stems from they're not knowing the Lord. That critical spirit is not something that the Lord would give to a person or would want a person to have still if that's the way they were before salvation. The Lord wants to take that away. They don't want them, he doesn't want them to be that way. So, but showing people like that, that you love them, that Christ loved them even more, could go a long way to helping them to see that their need for salvation. And we don't know what causes people's criticalness either. We don't know what's going on, you know, and, you know, some people react differently. Some people just, you know, they're lonely or they're frustrated or they're, you know, they've closed off their hearts and everything to love of any kind because they've been hurt or
abused,
whatever. And it's like, and they
become numb.
Yes, and they're inward, and they don't know how to show this any other kind of emotion but anger and hostility and being critical of everything around them because that's the minefield that they've been walking in. You know, it's like everything that they try to do is either blown up in their face or, you know, and those, especially those kind of people, if you have anybody in your life that's like that, or, you know that it's like God's love can encompass a lot and change a lot of things for people. And a little kindness goes a long way in showing someone that you love them and care about them. And so that one I thought long and hard on. That one was, because we all know people, I think, that are in this kind of, and it says like all of these things, like frustration and loneliness and all of these different things, they grow like weeds. If you allow them to be in your heart, it's just going to run rampant, and it's going to encompass everything about you. But if you can use some weed killer, I guess, you know, it's like, you know, spray some kindness on those weeds, and, you know, and zap them, and then it's like there's less, but people are looking for something, and Satan is going to give them all sorts of things to fill that emptiness that they have, that only comes from knowing Christ and that filling up that he gives us. But Satan's going to give all sorts of counterfeits and going to make them think that, you know, they're unloved, they're not worth it. He's going to do everything he possibly can to keep those holes filled, in a sense, with other stuff, and have the weeds choke everything out that's good, and where we're the ones that need to go in there and try to help them and get them to see that, you know, Christ's love can overcome everything, and he can make everything better. So then the next one, it says, envieth not. Okay, so the word envy is what we could say as being jealous. And you could be jealous over a lot of things. It doesn't have to be, you know, because someone's looked at your husband, or, you know, those kinds of things. You know, another, being jealous because, you know, Gloria has such a beautiful red dress on, and I don't have a red dress. You know, as women, we go to all these weird places. She got really pretty hair. I don't have pretty hair. You know, look how blue her eyes are. Why can't I have had blue eyes? You know, like, seriously, we go to all of, we can be envious and laugh it off and think it's something else. But really, we're saying, I don't like what I am. I don't like how God made me. And I want to be like her. Or, you know, I want to have this, and why couldn't I have had that, and why couldn't I have been this way? And instead of saying, wow, Lord made me special. I'm special because the Lord made me special. And, you know, some of us are a little more special than others, but, you know.
Some of us are prettier than everybody, you know. Because God, he made us like that.
But it's not exactly. But then, if you talk to someone that's very, very beautiful, mm-hmm. they're going to tell you, "I don't like this and this and this
oh,
and
yeah.
that." And on the outward appearance, everybody's going, "What do you mean you don't like that? It's like you're perfect. You know, the body, the hair, the mm-hmm. everything." But they, when they look in the mirror, they don't see that.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do.
Sometimes they do. Well, yeah, and some of them are like, you know, I'm.
And then that makes you see they're ugly.
But, yeah, and then their hearts are black.
Right.
But their outside is perfect. But then you have, but I would say on the surface, most women are very easy to pick out their faults and what they don't like, you know, and Carmen's talked about that when we've had our ladies meeting. It's, you know, it's. And we do it to each other. We, you know, it's like where if we have the mindset that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and so are you. You are special. You are loved by the Lord. You make a difference. You are just the way the Lord wants you to be. And he's going to change the things in you that he doesn't like, or he doesn't want you to have, if you allow him. And it's not a matter of, you know, God changed my hair, or, you know, changed my face, or, you know, I don't like my nose, or, you know, it's, you know, it's not that. It's not
black nose.
It's like, it's not those kinds of things. It's the things in my heart. Change the things in my heart that make me not like myself. Change the things in my heart that make me not attractive to someone else, or change the things in my heart that are black and ugly, Lord. That's the things that he can change. That's the things in us that he can make better. And so being not envious or not jealous of other people. So the verse we need to go to now is Philippians 2:3-7. That's this way, Philippians. Philippians 2. Just a few more pages over from where we are right now, Kathy. And we're at the bottom of page 39, question 8 in our book. Philippians 2:3-7. 2:3. Jerry, you want to read that for me?
Philippians 2:3-7.
Right.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. 8 also?
No, 7. Okay, so it says, consider how these verses can help us with envy. Okay, so if anyone had the right to be puffed up, it was the Lord. Because he was coming to do a wonderful service. He was coming to help all mankind. He was God, after all. But that attitude never came across in how he reacted with people. He was meek. He was humble. He showed his strength in a way that was not intrusive, if that's the right word to use. He didn't force it on anyone. He just presented it in a way that this is the truth, and you knew that it was the truth. You knew what he was saying was true. And he had a way about him as a man and walked in our flesh, but did it in a way that didn't overly bring attention to himself. He got a lot of attention, but it wasn't in the way he conducted himself. You know, he wasn't, look at me, you know. And that's, he had, you know, look at not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let nothing be done with vainglory, but esteem each. We've already gone over this verse. It's like that's the key. But verse 7, I think, is the one I like the best. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. God, Jesus Christ, left heaven, was born in a stable of poor parents. God didn't pick someone in a palace to give birth to Jesus. He was a carpenter's son. They lived, I would say, they probably didn't have a lot, but they had everything that they needed. He had, you know, a childhood that, you know, we can only imagine what it was like, because we don't have a lot of, but he had training, he had religious instruction, he had all of those things, because he wouldn't have gone to the temple. He was raised right, in a sense, in the Jewish customs. And so, but when he started his ministry, it was all about others. It wasn't about himself. He didn't come to say, here I am, look at me. You know, that's not how he came on the scene. I mean, John announced him in the wilderness. He was wandering in the wilderness, and John said, you know, here cometh the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And, you know, he didn't come as boasting of anything other than just being who he was. And so looking to the needs of others, like we've been going over this whole book so far, is that's how our attitude needs to be. What am I doing for others? How am I being a servant? How am I giving the things that the Lord's blessed me with? How am I helping other people with that? So then we get to turn the page. We're on back to John, or not back to John, back to 1 Corinthians in our 13 here. Vaunteth not itself. Okay, that vaunteth is a big word. Okay, it just means, look at me. Here I am. Love isn't like that. Love shouldn't be like that. Like, you know, I'm all it in a bag of chips, you know? It's like. Yeah, exactly. And a bag of chips. Jerry's hungry. Jerry's hungry.
Barbecue
legs. That's like.
That or dill pickle.
Oh yeah. No. So
no, I was just joking on that.
So it says that basically that's being braggy. Bragging, vaunteth means to proclaim yourself. You know, here I am. I have arrived to take care of all of your problems. Love shouldn't be that way, you know. I don't have all the answers to give to anyone. So, you know, it's like, but I can love you because Jesus loves me and I want to love you. But it doesn't have to be, love isn't something that, it says here, it doesn't need self-glorification. You know, like, I'm going to love you so that I look better, or you know, that shouldn't be our motivation to love. But love lifts up, builds each up, you know, builds others up. Love is something that if you love someone, you should want to make them better.
Yes.
You know, you should want to lift them up. You should want to do and make them the best person they can be. And in turn, they're going to do the same thing for you. They should lift you up and encourage you and brag on you. And you know, but you shouldn't be doing it yourself out of, you know, because I love you so much kind of attitude. So it's not arrogant. It doesn't say, you know, I have the handle on love. And also, in being right and wrong, love isn't always, we don't always have to be right. We may think we're right in what we say to someone, but if it's not going to, just saying, well, you're wrong all the time, and pointing out that someone didn't make the right decision, look at the situation, because sometimes saying, but that's, you're wrong. But if you just, Lord, show them that this probably isn't the right decision that they need to make. Because if I say something to them, they're going to take it the whole different way, and it's just going to be a problem. But if you show them that this isn't the right decision to make, that's going to go a whole long, you know, okay, if you think this is right, you know, it's almost like you know my opinion on it, but, you know, you make that decision, because sometimes, you know, it just may not be the right decision to make. So, self-conscious pride can make us look foolish. How can John 3:30 help us? And so, John. John 3:30. It says, he must increase, but I must decrease. So, what does that mean exactly?
If we put God above ourselves, we'll be in the right order.
Well, exactly. We're not, if my needs, my desires, it's not like we push them down, but it's like I need to be less of me and more of what Christ wants me to be. Then I'm doing what God wants me to do. Then I'm doing his will. Then I'm being a servant. Then I can give to others if it's not all about me. Our lives should not be about us. Our lives should be about others. Pastor, have you noticed the last month or so how Pastor's sermon, he keeps doing my Sunday school lesson? I was like, Pastor, what are you doing? Like, and then last week he was doing my husband's Sunday school lesson. So it's like, there we go. Is this reinforcement? It's like, must be something we need to hear. God says we're not
Holy Spirit.
We don't quite got it yet. So let's keep doing this a little bit more. Okay, question 10 in our book on page 40. Just what I was saying before earlier. To whom are we most likely to be rude and discourteous?
Our loved ones.
Our family, our loved ones, the people that we say we care about the most in this world, we're ruder to them than we are to anybody. Yes, Miss Leah.
Miss Katie, sometimes I get discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
That someone that promised and tell you to trust, but they don't say anything to you and they don't let you know.
Right.
And you're waiting, and sometimes it's a frustration for you to and they let you know. But sometimes you feel kind of hurt,
mm-hmm.
because you take the person tell you to trust and promise I trust you and to trust me and never give back to you. And sometimes you feel bad.
Exactly. And our families in a lot of ways can be the ones that let us down the most.
Yeah.
But it's all in how we react to that situation is whether they're going to be different or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all have family members that don't know the Lord. We all have family members that want nothing to do with knowing the Lord. But I have to love them just as much as I love the family members that I have that do love the Lord and want to serve the Lord. Because otherwise, they're not going to see anything different in me than is in them. If I can't show them kindness and love and long-suffering and being patient with them and just not reacting the way my flesh wants me to react when I'm disappointed or I'm hurt,
yeah,
or I'm
disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Can we take a break from the people sometimes?
We can. And sometimes walking away is the best thing, because if I don't, I'm going to say something I really don't need to say, and Lord doesn't want me to say it either, so let's take a time. Let's, you know, it's like there, if you say they're on the phone, I'm going to call you back, or let me get back to you. Just be as nice and polite as you possibly can, but Lord, you need to do something in this situation, and you need to help me to figure out a way to get this across. And because honestly, if we all admit, we have some family members that just try our exactly. Where's the duct tape? Because it's like You just need to, I need to put you in a closet. But, you know, just, yes. Sometimes we're very frustrated about, you know, our situation and them, and Lord knows that too. It's and how we react is the big thing that we're trying to get across. It's how much of God is coming out.
How we do it, how we say it,
and how we get it across. Exactly.
Yeah.
How much, you know, it's like, okay, Lord, help me. Before I open my mouth and say something, you know, because it's once it's said, you've said it. You can't take it back. And that old rhyme that we used to say, you know, sticks and stones, you know, but words can never hurt you. I'm sorry, but words hurt a lot.
Yes.
You know, you get hit by something and it leaves a bruise, and after a while that goes away and that memory's gone. But people say ugly things to you and you grow up that way, and you know, all of that kind of stuff. I'm sorry, but it takes a lot for that to go away. And you know, you may not think about it all the time, but that memory is still there and it's formed who you are. And only Christ's love can make you see that you're different. You're not who they said you were, or it was their issues that made them say what they said to you, and it wasn't necessarily true because other people didn't see you that way. So it still goes back to that, where we have to think about what are the situation of other people, what is going on in their lives to make them be the way they are. You know, is it something that they're having to deal with from their past? You know, why are they angry? Why do they always say hurtful things? You know, why are they like that? And you know, a lot of it is because they don't have the Lord, for one thing, you know. But
what if they take advantage of you?
Well,
or they,
and we're going to have people in our lives that do that. Hopefully you have a support system around you that other people can see that, you know, she's being taken advantage of. Someone needs to help. And sometimes you need to find someone that you trust and say, you know, I think these people, someone is taking advantage of me in a way that I don't know how to deal with. But there should be people around you that you do trust that don't do that to you, that can help you in that situation. And, you know, praying, Lord, you know, this isn't right what they're doing. But I have no recourse in a sense to make them stop doing that, but you do. Lord can bring someone in to help. He can change their heart. Is it still happening?
Are the people still taking advantage, is what she's asking?
No.
Oh, okay. But it happened before.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's good. Okay.
We took care of it, right?
Good. Okay, so I had wrote down here, it's like, you know, we would never treat our guests that come and stay in our home or visiting, or, you know, we would never treat our guests the way we treat our family. You know, the people that we, you know, are right there with us all the time. But that's part of the problem. They're right there all the time. They see our warts and our ugliness, and they see, and we see theirs, and it's, we got to find a way to make that all cohesive, and how we're, you know, we're all looking past that, and we're all, and especially if in your household, everybody loves the Lord and everybody's trying to serve the Lord, that should be an easier avenue to work on those situations and to, you know, implement things. You know, it's like, you know, how much are you thinking of other people in this house? You know, how much are you doing for others here? You know, when was the last time, you know, you got up and got your brother a drink instead of always saying, oh, while you're up, you know, while you're in the kitchen, can you get me, you know, well, when was the last time you did that for him or for her? You know, it's like, but if we present that in a way that is uplifting to not only instructing our children or, you know, that kind of stuff, if we bring it up in a way that's encouraging, then it's going to make it easier for them to, you know, want to do that as well. Okay, so we're going to stop with verse 5. We're going to be at the bottom of page 40 when we come back next. Well, actually, next week is going to be awards service, so we'll probably only have Sunday school for, you know, 10 minutes. So we'll pick this up when class picks up, then I would say the following week. So if you haven't said, I have 3, 4, 5 people that have said John 13:35. So there's still a few of you that haven't said it yet. So keep working on that. We have 1, 2, 3, like 4 pages left of chapter 4. So probably by the end of June, we'll be done with that. And work on your Galatians 5:22.